SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. It's FFC football full circle on this Thursday afternoon. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz in for the next 60 minutes, sitting in for Ben and Joe once again today. We'll do it again tomorrow as we recap and kind of just go over the NFL for the next 60 minutes on what's going on. Actually, I have a couple of headlines to break into, and we'll also delve into more of what we did yesterday with some of these team over-unders now that we have the schedules out, just kind of dissecting things, look at what they did last year, what they're projected to do this year, and see if we can find a couple of winners. Over-unders with the boys in Vegas. What's going on, George? How are you today?
Doing well, Sky. Doing well. 98 days now until the start of the NFL season here. And, you and I living in New York, it feels like football weather out there, right? Gray, dreary here. It could be a pretty good football Sunday today.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing. I'm waiting for the heat to come through, but so far that's not the case. Although it's not too bad. I don't have to put the heat on in my house except at night. So for that, I suppose I'll accept. So, but it's not my garden netting. Some headlines before we break down some of these over-unders. Let's go with the Cleveland Browns. We'll start there. There's a few places we could go. Let's start in Cleveland, where I found it interesting. Joe Flacco yesterday telling the world that he basically is not going to hold these rookie quarterbacks' hands. He'll be a mentor, but by example, which really means, you know what, don't look to me. You know, I'm going to go to work. If you Shador Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel want to follow me, watch me, okay. But if you think I'm here to help them, he basically said that's not the case. He thinks he's still a starting quarterback. He's there to win the starting job. You throw in the Kenny Pickett situation, not even to mention Deshaun Watson. And it's been broken down before, but what a mess, what a crazy situation that Cleveland Browns quarterback room is. And now you have the supposed leader, George, coming out saying, don't look to me to lead. I'm trying to win a starting job.
This is, from my mind, short-sighted of Joe Flacco. You're not a starting quarterback, all right? And you haven't been for years.
Right.
All right? You're a backup, and if you want to stay in the league longer, letting teams know you will mentor a young quarterback could be a way to keep you around longer, right? That's what you're going with here. I mean, listen, do I think Flacco's going to start week one? Yeah. Do I think he starts in October? No. I think it's just a matter of time until they get one of these younger quarterbacks ready. I think it will eventually be Shador Sanders. He'll get the most starts this year. Whether or not he's going to succeed or not, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he gives them the best chance, right? I pick it. He's failed a couple of times here, although he might be my number two guy in order here that I'd start there. It is a mess there in Cleveland, right? To let you know, I'm in a fantasy football league draft right now. This is an industry league with names that people would know if you're a fantasy guy. We are in round 31. Shador Sanders just got drafted. So there's not a lot of belief here, wow. And even in the fantasy league, that Shador Sanders is going to do anything this year. And by the way, this is a dynasty league, which means you'll have Shador. I didn't draft him. The team that did will have Shador Sanders forever, theoretically. Yeah, but still, nobody truly believes in his talent, even in fantasy land.
All right, so I'll throw it to you then. Well, why didn't you draft him? You had 30 opportunities. How come not one time?
I got Joe Burrow. My backup was Michael Penix. When I thought about getting Sanders probably five rounds ago, Geno Smith was still there. And I'm like, I got Burrow, I got Penix as my young guy. So if I needed a young guy, I got Penix for 10 years, theoretically. So I didn't need another quarterback. Yeah, I wasn't going to. I mean, if he would have been there in a couple of rounds, maybe I would have taken him. I do think, like I said, I do believe he'll start the most games for Cleveland this season. I do. Whether or not he's going to be any good, especially fantasy good, I'm not so sure I see that. And not for a couple of, even if he starts, Scotty, there's not a lot there. I mean, offensively, right, to be a good fantasy player there, that's why he might be. I think you sort of brought this up on the show yesterday, right? Didn't you? That even if he starts, can we really judge him this year? There's not enough there to really make an assessment really of him or any other quarterback on the Cleveland roster.
Yeah. I mean, that roster might be the worst in football. They got no running backs. They have no wide receivers. Defensively, maybe they'll be halfway decent. But offensively, as far as weapons are concerned, man, there really is not a lot. If you look at some of the worst teams, they always have one or two guys. They don't even have that. Brutal start to the schedule. We talked about their schedule yesterday, but just to recap, they start the season with Cincinnati, at Baltimore, Green Bay, at Detroit. So I really doubt you're going to have Sanders or Dylan Gabriel, one of the two rookies, start the year. To me, it does look like it's going to come down to Flacco or Pickett. I don't think they really want to start Flacco. I mean, he is what he is. He's a backup quarterback. You said it, right? So I think maybe they would give Pickett the crack. But that would be a good bet, you know, with the boys in Vegas. Who starts the most games at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this year? I guess it'll be Sanders, but...
I'd vote Sanders. I don't know if he gets double digits. I don't know if he gets double digits, but I'll say he gets the most. You already said this is a bad team, right? We all know that this is a bad team. So starting Flacco is a waste of time. You're just holding somebody back, right? I think as soon as one of the youngsters is ready, and I don't think Watson is even with the team. We already heard the owner throw him under the bus. So I don't think he'll be there. So as soon as one of the youngsters is ready, he has to be the starter. You might as well let him learn, get the rookie blues out of the way. So as soon as Gabriel or Sanders is ready, and I don't think it'll be Gabriel ever, by the way, you let that guy go. If it's Pickett because maybe he's been around a few years and learned something now, fine. I just think Flacco, why is he, in my mind, Pickett, fine. If you need a quasi-veteran, Pickett starts the season. And then you wait for Sanders to figure it out. And then you go with him. Flacco is no part of this in my mind. He shouldn't be competing for anything, right? He should be a guy who's grooming somebody else, teaching him the ropes, stuff like that, but he doesn't want to do that. So he just he holds no purpose in my mind on an NFL team, at least on the Cleveland Browns.
I'd like to know how they're going to divvy up all the reps. I mean, this is not like the old days, where, and I brought this up in other shows, where you have 3-4-hour practices, you have 2 practices a day in training camp. No, none of that stuff is allowed anymore. You can't do that. You got basically 2-2.5 hours that you go through some walkthroughs, but that's it. As far as like hitting and real reps, I don't know how you figure out which quarterback is going to get the first team reps. Maybe you split it up 2 a day, where you get 2 of the 4 quarterbacks that can do that. But I'm not confident that the Cleveland Browns are smart enough to figure out who is the best quarterback out of the four.
Oh, I'm with you there. Stefanski said the other day, they had an interview with him, that it's not going to be 25% for everybody. And that was an interesting number he brought up, by the way, because he said 25%, which is 4. They have 5. So that would seem to be that Watson, once again, is the odd man out there, because they say, he said 25% here. Maybe he misspoke and meant 20%. Who knows? But you're right. You can't.
No, Watson's not ready. Right. So Watson's not ready to practice right now. So it's going to be a little close.
I think he'll be ready by training camp.
Why would they have 5,000 quarterbacks?
He's throwing.
He's going to miss like half the season.
No, he's throwing the teammates already. I mean, whether or not he can run or really move, I'm just reading what Mary Cabot's saying here, that he's not expected to start the season, not expected to compete for the starting job, even when he is capable, he's not expected to compete here. But he's made very good progress in his recovery. Everybody makes very good progress in their recovery.
Yeah. Why is he not supposed to compete? Because they've closed the door on him, or because he
that's how I would read
not
it.
Healthy enough.
That's how I would.
Sounds like.
I mean, we heard the owner come out 2 months ago and say, this is a terrible sign. Blah 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 blah. That was a bad move. Yeah. And all that. So when you're saying that, that means that player's done. Maybe they'll release him at some point. It's sunk money. It's a sunk cost. You're not going to get anything from him. No one's taking on anywhere near that contract or his reputation. The fact that he's terrible now. He's not even a very good quarterback. Everything just went that's probably one of the worst. That's got to be the worst trade. That's worse than the Herschel Walker trade, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about $250 million here. You're just eating.
Yeah. You gave him a contract extension. You gave up a whole bunch of assets. Which, by the way, allowed them to, to go get C.J. Stroud. And he stinks. I mean, it doesn't – they're the three. NFL. Yeah. I mean, those are the three things you look in a trade, right? And they failed on all three of them. NFL Network does, top 10, top 100 shows all the time. That would be a good one. Top 10 worst trades of all time. Boy, that's got to be at the top of the list. It really does. All right, football full circle just underway. Me and George Moore coming up here on the grid on this terrific Thursday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle here on this Thursday. Scott and George just getting underway. So we both like the under with the Browns. Talked about their quarterback situation with Joe Flacco coming out and basically telling the world, you know, don't look to me to be the leader of this football team. And I'm not holding Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel's hand. So, which I can kind of appreciate a little bit, but you got to be, you know, realistic about it. How about the Stephon Diggs video? Yes. I'm going to take a maybe the contrarian side of this, George, and say, you know, first of all, you knew what you were getting when you signed this dude. But that aside, it's not against the law to have fun. It really isn't. He's not a party boat with a bunch of bikini-clad women. I mean, if that's his biggest crime, I mean, I think we all would be signing up for that crime, right? I mean, so first of all, it's again, not a crime to have fun. The pitching stuff in the bag, I don't know what that is. I'm not a drug expert. All I do hear him saying, though, is don't take it all at once. So if you really dissect that 15, 20-second whatever video of him talking to the three broads. So I don't know if, you know, if that was cocaine like people want to allude to. I don't think he'd be saying that. I don't think anybody's that dumb to take a whole bag of cocaine. So I'm thinking it's something else. Who knows what it is? Let's say it is drugs, just for the sake of argument. Who cares? It's the NFL. It's the offseason. If you don't think these guys are partying and having fun in the offseason, then you're kidding yourself. Then you're just living in a bag, the size of that, you know, bag that he had. So not that I'm okay with it all, but he's having fun. He's a rich man. I think we all get jealous of these guys. These guys make a gazillion dollars. He just got thrown $25 million. And you talk about the contract being dopey. You know, that's a different story. But 3 years, $63 million, $25 million guaranteed for a 31-year-old wide receiver coming off ACL surgery. You talk about dumb contracts. That's it. And then you throw in his personality. You knew that stuff like this was going to happen. But ultimately, it's to me, it's not the end of the world. Let's see what he says. Let's see what excuse he says. But I'm not okay with it, but I'm not going to go crazy with it like I've heard other people.
I don't know if I'd go crazy with it. A lot of the things you said there are true. All right. This really surprises you? Really? Really? All right. Yeah. I don't think it's cocaine. I'm sure it's some kind of pills or whatever it is. I might, you know, if I'm Vrabel and being like, you're dumb enough to put this on video? What the hell are you doing? All right. I mean, they all know this stuff happens, but really, someone filmed this? I mean, that's what baffles my mind here. Baffles the mind here. All right. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being on the boat with, as you said, bikini clad women. No, if we can't do that, then, you know, lock me up and take me to Russia. Because, you know, I don't care how old I am. I wouldn't mind doing that as well. Who wouldn't here? But the pills thing is, or whatever it is, the Pepto-Bismol, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you just, how stupid are you? That's what it comes to. How stupid are you? All right. So it is what it is here. I don't feel the least bit bad for New England. You already said it. You knew what you were getting into. And here it's come, you know, the chickens come home to roost. Too bad.
Yeah. And what could they do? You know, he could just say it's anything, unless some, you know, one of those women says, nope, no, it was drugs. Otherwise, you know, it's his word. He could come up with it. It was a bag of Cheerios that I crunched up. I mean, you know, he could say anything he wants. The biggest thing is, like you said, you know, he's got a leak in his group there, because obviously, you know, someone sent out that video and there was another video of the people partying. There's about 20 people or so, I would say, on the boat, 20, 25 people. So that video's out there as well. Not doing anything wrong, but clearly someone kind of broke his trust by having his video out. It kind of reminds me of the speech from Chris Carter, when he's telling the people, you got to have your fall guy. If you remember that speech from three, four, five years ago, right? You got to be smarter. You're right. I think that's the speech that Vrabel's giving him. Not don't go on a boat with women. Not don't do this or don't do that. It's like, hey, stupid. Make sure there are no videos. That's the number one thing. So, but that's the fun things. I didn't quite get that signing anyway. I know they were desperate for, you know, a weapon on the outside, and they've tried drafting wide receivers, and it's been a complete failure, George. But $63 million, $25 million guaranteed. You know, maybe that's just 1 year. That's you know, you take a flyer on that, but that's still a lot of money, $25 million. For a 31-year-old wide receiver coming off major knee surgery, that was dumb to me.
Well, once again, it was sort of a knee-jerk reaction, right, because they didn't get Godwin. They offered Godwin more money than Tampa Bay did, right? Then the Godwin, he turned him down, and this was the old, oh, well, oh, no, what are we going to do? you know, and they did this. Which we, listen, we knew at the time, this is a, and once again, this has nothing to do with the pink substance, okay? This is all about the fact that he's not that player anymore. And he's not going to be ready in September. It looks like maybe October you might get him back, which means he's probably a bust this year then, right? It didn't make sense when they signed him. Certainly doesn't make sense now here. What are you expecting? I mean, what, they're going to show up two games against Buffalo? He wants to get even there? Yay. In my mind, it was just a bad plan B. It was a bad plan B because you didn't have one, so you panicked. You packed and signed him for the name value, and he's not that player anymore.
Just like with the Browns, this is one of my better underplays. I don't see 7.5. And again, it's juiced to the over. It might flip to even 8.5, which I don't. They're 4-13. They didn't really make any wholesale changes. All right, they, you know, Drake May figures to get a little bit better, but I'm not a big Drake May fan anyway. They got three straight road games. I mean, they only got four games in prime time, which helps their situation some, but they're not an 8-9 football team in my world. I think that's one of the best bet unders that there's going to be on the board this year.
I mean, I think they could. I think there's a row for them to get it. They could beat Vegas week one. Yeah. Miami Jets, they could, you know, they could win two games there. That's, you know, three, maybe get another game in the division four. You play Pittsburgh or Carolina. I mean, they're scared. New Orleans, Tennessee. I mean, it's set up to give them a chance. Give them a chance here. It is set up for them. So
it is.
I'm not saying they're going to get it, mind you. And they're going to, by the way, they're going to be a boring football team. All right. They're not going to throw the ball down the field. They're going to play good defense because they have a good defense. And they're going to run the ball, right? Stevenson and I forget the other guy, the rookie there, Henderson. They're going to run the ball a lot. So they're not going to play fun football at all. They're going to play that kind of football. Let's keep games 17-14 in the fourth quarter and hope the other team makes the mistake and we can capitalize and we win the game here. I could see because of their schedule where they have a shot at it. Not a playoff team, but a shot at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of winnable games, but that doesn't mean you're going to win them. And I think I'm on the other side of the New England equation. I'll give the Carolinas and the Pittsburghs and the Dolphins and even the Jets a better chance of winning those games than I do the New England Patriots. So one more story, then we'll check out some team over-unders. Football full circle here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle on this Thursday. Scott and George sitting in for Ben and Joe today and tomorrow as well. We'll talk a little NFL for the next 35 minutes or so. So a couple of the headlines here before we get to some of these over-unders with the teams, which we were started yesterday. We'll do today, then a little bit more tomorrow. And that is, you know, every once in a while, you get the reality thrown in your face that football is a business, George. And that's what we got yesterday with the Baltimore Ravens and really earlier, you know, last week and a half or so ago. But head coach John Harbaugh talked for the first time since they cut kicker Justin Tucker. We know the issues about Justin Tucker off the field, the accusations, who knows if they're true or not. But the bottom line is they cut him. And it's really... it's kind of sad. It really is. Harbaugh, I'll quote him, just what I want to think about a context, explaining why they cut Tucker. It's a multi-layered and complicated decision, he said. But in the end, it all comes back to what you have to do to get ready for your team to play the first game. And I think if you step back and take a look at all the issues and all the ramifications, you can understand that we've got to get our football team ready. We've got to have a kicker to go. And that was the move we decided to make. I mean, you talk about a bunch of BS. I mean, this is not August, you know, and we got a game in 2 weeks. This is May. You know, there's plenty of time, I would think, to have things kind of iron itself out and figure out, you know, is he guilty? Is he innocent? Is there a plea bargain? You know, who knows where it's going to go? But ultimately, you have time. You're talking about one of, and he even said it earlier in his statement, you know, maybe the best kicker, certainly one of the top four or five kickers of all time. He's been with your club forever. He said big kick after big kick after big kick. There was no sense of loyalty at all for this guy. No, whatever happened to innocent to proven guilty? I mean, he's saying he's innocent, so it's not like he's saying, yeah, I did these things that they're accusing me of doing. So you don't stand behind a guy like that who's been in your corner for how many years in Baltimore? Like I said, has won how many games for them? I don't like John Harbaugh. I don't. The more I watch him and the more I hear him, I just don't like that. That's You could have it be a football decision. Hey, listen, if he would have stood up there, George, yesterday and said, hey, you know what? He had an awful year last year. He missed a lot of kicks. And he did. He missed a lot of kicks last year for the first time in his career. And we just wanted to go in a different direction. All this stuff off the field had nothing to do with it. I would have had more respect. But to throw that out there and say, this is why we're doing it, but ultimately it's a football decision because he has these other issues, that's just BS.
I have no problem with it. All right. What is it? 18 women have accused him. I guarantee you a team knows more than we know. You know, I do wonder if had a great year last year, I think we're having a different conversation here. And I don't think he's released, by the way, if he had a great year. This is also a team that screwed up the Ray Rice situation years back. So it makes you wonder if they're a little, you know, a little nervous about this sort of thing here and the bad PR that comes with it. But I do wonder if he would have had a normal Justin Tucker year, Hall of Fame year last year, if he's still with the team now. I do wonder that. That being said, I have no problem with them releasing him. All right. Could have been worded better. Sure. But who cares? All right. Either way, we'd be complaining one way or the other here. Like I said, what is it? 17, 18 women. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that they're all lying or that they're all after money. Some of them? Okay, probably. Just playing the numbers game here. But really, when there's smoke, there's generally fire here. And I'll never understand it, by the way. Same thing with Deshaun Watson. You're a gazillionaire.
Well, just to say, he's still a Cleveland Brown. Deshaun Watson, technically, still Cleveland Brown.
He's a quarterback. Yeah. Quarterback a little different. You know, and Cleveland got vilified. They got absolutely crushed for that, right? They did. Maybe Baltimore doesn't want to do that. And they not only is he a quarterback, but he was still a Pro Bowl quarterback at that time, right? If he was terrible, that never happens, right? Never happened. That Cleveland thought, oh, it was worth the aggravation or the bad PR to get what we thought was a franchise quarterback. Didn't work out that way at all, right? So you ticked everybody off. The owners hated you because you gave them a guaranteed contract and all that. The women's groups all hated you. Everybody hated you. And well-deserved, by the way. They should have hated you. I think it's very similar here with Tucker. They just want to move. For a player who's not that player anymore, we're moving on. Could have been worded differently? Sure. They probably just should have said it, by the way. Listen, we're moving on. He's not the same kicker. We have somebody we think is better, blah, 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 and gotten rid of it. But we would have all known that's a lie, too.
I guess. You know, I just, listen, is Stephon Diggs still a New England Patriot right now? All right. That we got a video of him with a bag of something, which, listen, unless you're a moron, you got to realize it's something probably illegal. It more than likely is, right? But did they kick him off the team? No. I mean, it's the same thing. To me, it's I don't know. Word it differently, come up with a better explanation. But just to throw him to the side like that, it's just so cold-hearted. It's just like, I didn't like it.
Don't feel bad at all.
Yeah. See if another team signs him. That would be interesting. Football full circle. More coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle here on the grid. Scott and George, hour number one of our one-hour extravaganza. Halfway home, let's take a look at some of the NFL over-unders. George, we touched on this yesterday. We'll do a little bit more tomorrow. We did the AFC East yesterday. We did the NFC North, speaking of Baltimore. I think we got did we do the AFC South? I don't think so. I think we only did the two divisions. So, Houston, Texas. The AFC East, didn't we do? Yeah,
we did the AFC East, and I think we killed the North in the AFC.
Yeah, killed the North. Yeah. So AFC South, Houston over 9.5 plus 110 with FanDuel anyway. Each site's going to have different odds on this stuff, but it's 9.5 right now. 10-7 last year. Not a bad schedule. Only one back-to-back road game trip, which isn't too bad. What do they got? 8 games against playoff teams, which, you know, is about the norm. You know, 7, 8, 9 is the norm. I think they're still the class of the division. I don't know how they don't win that division unless you think Jacksonville all of a sudden is going to rise up. But overall, like, there was nothing daunting with their schedule that made me say, ooh, that's rough. They had 10 wins last year, and they're giving you 9.5 plus money on the over this year. I think last year was the dip. You know, good first season with C.J. Stroud. Disappointing second season, even though they had the same record, 10-7. And I think they get at least 11 wins or 10 wins for our purposes here. I do like the over here.
I mean, you're right about the schedule. There's nothing here That's oh my god! I mean, it's actually it might be one of the easier schedules. But again, you're playing your own division, which is the AFC South. We know that's not the best division on the planet. All right, so that certainly helps there. My problem with them is their offensive line is putrid. I mean, it's god awful. You know, that's probably why Stroud sort of regressed last year. That and all the injuries to the wide receivers as well. So I'm a little worried about that. That being said, I think you already said it here. Unless you think Jacksonville is going to take that next step, which hey, maybe. They have some talent there. They should win. They still should win this division. Still got a good running game here. I mean, your receiving room is, you know, stacked with Nico Collins, Tank Dell. You draft Higgins. You bring along Kirk here. Dalton Schultz should be a solid tight end. If the offensive line can just hold up, I think they get your over total. I do, but I'm not so sure the offensive line can. I think once again, they'll win their 10 games, maybe 11, because their schedule is not difficult, not because they're a great team.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't a bad schedule at all for a first-place team last year. You know, so they get the two extra games against first-place teams. If not for that, they really would have an easy schedule. But I'm curious more so, as far as betting, I like the over. As far as, you know, how good is this Houston Texans team? Are they going to put themselves really in the Buffalo, Cincinnati, I'll put in that category, Kansas City class, or are they just going to be, okay, good team, bad division, get knocked out in the first or second round again? So, to me, they're the three games that jump off the page for me for them. At Baltimore, October 5th. At Kansas City, December 7th. And Buffalo at home, Thanksgiving. Those are the three. Let me see them get – they got to get at least one, but – and it might be a tall task asking for two since two of them are on the road. But if you want to be taken as a serious Super Bowl contender, you got to go 2-1 of those games. Find a way to beat the big boys, which they've not been able to do.
Playing at Baltimore, I mean, you'd like to. I mean, winning at Baltimore and winning at Kansas City—that's difficult for anybody. So I don't know if they can go 2-1. Right. It'd be impressive if they did. And I don't know if you can beat Buffalo at home, even though it is a Thursday. Is that Thanksgiving, November 20th, early Thanksgiving this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so. Right. Maybe not. Maybe that's just the week before.
I think that could be just a regular Thursday. Either way, it's a Thursday night game. Either way, it's a night game. And is it the night game on Thanksgiving? NBC. Maybe.
Usually. Yeah, it must be a Thursday.
This is probably the normal Thursday night game, not Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving does come early sometimes, but I'm assuming it's November 27th this year. Whatever. It doesn't make a difference. It's a Thursday night game. So there is an advantage there for you to play Buffalo at home on a Thursday night. It wouldn't shock me if they lose all three. That's it. As good as your offense is, and I think once again, all things considered, it could be a really good offense. That offensive line is bad. It's bad. It's going to hold you back there. He's not going to have a lot of time to throw. The holes may not be there for times that mix in. You'll beat teams, the average teams, right? You'll do good in your division. I'm sure you go 4-2 here. You have a Seattle. Even San Fran, I don't think, is all that good a team this year. Maybe you play them. You beat them. You know, you got Denver here, Indianapolis, Arizona. I guess you're playing the NFC West. I think they get their 10 wins. I do. There's a lot of games. There's a lot of winnable games here. You brought up the three toughest. And after that, what's your tough games? You got Tampa Bay. You play them at home. You open up against the against LA. Okay, on the road. If they can just avoid going 0-2, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. Indianapolis, another one with an easy schedule. Although they do have a little bit of a gauntlet here. First up, over-under is 7.5. Believe it or not, they actually went 8-9 last year. As crazy as a season, Flacco in there, Richardson in there, all the issues. They still did go 8-9. They got eight games against playoff teams, which isn't too bad. Again, you look at the schedule, two sets of back-to-backs, including, and this is where it gets a little difficult, they got a stretch where after their bye week, which is in mid-November, at Kansas City, Houston at home, at Jacksonville, which doesn't seem too bad, except that then they're going to at Seattle. And you think about where Indianapolis is, middle of the country, they're going all the way east to Jacksonville, and then they're going to go all the way west to Seattle. And then they play San Fran after that. So that five-game gauntlet is kind of their season. Are they going to get 8-9 wins? I would think so. Danny Nichols there in that division. Maybe be a little bit more competitive. I fully expect him to be the starting quarterback, not Anthony Richardson. So I would go over, but it wouldn't be a great play.
I probably agree with you. Once again, the schedule does play out nicely, even that five-game stretch. All right, Kansas City and Houston is rough here. And you, by the way, you play Atlanta right before the break, too. That may not be fun either. And even at Pittsburgh. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback of Pittsburgh. They're a hard team to judge right now. Yeah, I mean, it's a rough stretch, but not the worst we've seen in the NFL. They should, right. They're a decent squad here. You got 8 wins last year. You should be able to get it this year as well. Boy, if they go to Daniel Jones at quarterback, and I understand Anthony Richardson is looking like a big-time bust. You know, but my God, you're going to, what do you like to call him? Danny Nichols?
Danny Nichols, so, not Danny Dimes.
I would just be, in my mind, a step back. Even if you got the 8 or 9 wins, it'd be a step back to go to Daniel Jones here. But I kind of agree. I do like the over here. Schedule plays out nicely for them.
Right. If you're kind of looking for Jacksonville to take that step, new head coach and everything, as I kind of am, boy, if they do, they're going to earn it. Tough schedule. Unlike with Houston and Indy. They got three. There's some teams that don't have any. They have 3 sets of back-to-backs, including a stretch where they play 4 road games in 5 weeks. They start the season with Carolina at home. Okay. At Cincinnati, Houston, San Fran, Kansas City. I mean, they're looking down the barrel at a 1-4 start. And then even after that, they got Seattle and the L.A. Chargers, or is that the Rams? Rams, which won't be easy.
That's in England. Oh, that's in Europe. I don't know where the hell any of these games are anymore.
Right. They got 2 over in England, wherever it is, Europe, England. They always play the 2 over there, so that makes it tough. They got 8 games against playoff teams, plus Cincinnati and San Fran. So that's 10 games against playoff-caliber teams. They fly west 3 times this year, separate trips at San Fran, at Arizona, and at Denver as well. I tell you what, I liked their over when I saw their number. This is what I mean by you look at their schedule and you see how it plays out. They don't have San Fran and Arizona back to back, so it's not like they can just stay out there. I don't know if they get to 8 wins with a rookie head coach.
It's not going to be easy. I kind of like this team. I mean, but if part of it is Ken Lawrence too. Take that next step. We've been waiting for Lawrence now for, you blamed it on the coach, and then we're blaming it on whatever. It's just not working out here. Urban Meyer screwed things up for a while. The running game sell with Bigsby now here. You got a good wide receivers, Brian Thomas, Travis Hunter. You know, he's going to be the next Deion Sanders. Even like De'Ami Brown a little bit. I'm going to say probably not this year. I think we may be 1 year ahead on Jacksonville, if that makes any sense. Maybe next year they take that step.
Yeah. We'll look at the AFC West when we come back. Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It is Football Full Circle on this Thursday. Scott and George, as we got 15 more minutes or so, breaking down some of the NFL over-unders now that the schedules have been out for about a week and a half, 2 weeks or so. So last left with the AFC South, we got one more team, Tennessee, the Titans, number 1 overall pick. Cam Ward going to be their starting quarterback, I imagine. They're saying there's a competition with Will Levis, but please, really. Will Levis barely started in college, let alone the NFL. Over-under is 5.5, -125 to the over on FanDuel. They only had 3 wins last year, so you're asking for them to duplicate that, go from 3 to 6 in order to hit your over. They have 3 straight road games. Not difficult, but still it is 3 straight at Houston, at Arizona, at Las Vegas. They got 4 straight at home in November. Only 4 more road games after week 6, believe it or not, of the NFL season. So they play a ton of their road games early on. Which could really derail the season. I get that, but then it gets you a little bit easier, obviously, after that. And I also wrote down, they got 7 games against playoff teams from last year. So not a bad schedule. Like I said, they got a ton of games to start the season. AFC only has the 8 road games this year. So they start out at Denver, then home, then at the 3-game road trip. And then after that, it's pretty easy. You know, not a bad schedule. Cleveland's on there, George. You got the Patriots are on there. Obviously, the 6 games in the division outside of Houston, the 4 should be winnable games. So New Orleans is on there. Not bad. Do they get 6? I'm a Cam Ward guy, so I'm going to say yes. I think they do get 6, just barely.
Yep, you just asked the question. All right, if you believe in Cam Ward, they should get 6. Their schedule is kind of nice looking at this. If you don't believe in Cam Ward, they're not. Or if you believe it's going to take them longer to figure it out, then it, you know, could be a problem here. As long as they don't get bogged down by the bad starts, I think it will be, you know, Denver, Rams. All right, they play Houston. You could be 1-3 real quick. You know, you could be. As long as you don't get bogged down by that. I mean, you mentioned you got Arizona in here, Vegas, New England, Indianapolis. You know, obviously your own division, you already said that. Cleveland, New Orleans, there's a lot of winnable games. They're not going to win them all. Of course, that's a bad team. But I think they can get the six. And I'm not as high on Cam Ward as you are. And when I say that, I just don't believe he's a franchise guy. I think he's an NFL quarterback, but not, wow, that kind of guy. Not someone you're going to draft earlier in your fantasy leagues for that matter. You know, I think he's going to take prop bets of over 32 touchdown passes a year or anything like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Definitely not. But overall, I think, they were wise to hold on to him versus maybe trading him away for 3, 4, 5, whatever draft choices. Because I do think he'll end up being the best quarterback in this year's draft, which might not be saying that much. But yeah, I think they get the six, just barely. So AFC West, Denver Broncos, a surprise team from last year. They go 10-7. We know what the boys in Vegas think because they've lowered their number, not raised them. It's 9.5, two sets of back-to-back road games, which is not the worst thing in the world in the NFL these days. They're not flying Southwest Airlines. You got Tennessee and at Indy to start the season, then at Chargers, Cincinnati, at Philadelphia. So that's a tough little, let's see what the Broncos really have. They have the oddity of 10 home games this year. In that they're playing Kansas City. I think that's the Mexico game. Normally, George, when teams have the 9 home games and 8 road games, as the AFC does, if they play one of those Europe games or Mexico games, they take away one of the home games. For Kansas City and Denver, they didn't. They still have their 9 normal home games, and then this Mexico, I think it's Mexico, that's where they're playing, is the extra home game. So they've taken away one road game for both Kansas City and Denver, which is interesting. So, I want to go under on them. I think there will be a little regression. But knowing that, I still think I'm going to go under. I don't think they get to 10 wins this year.
It won't be easy, but the schedule does, we're up against Tennessee, should be a W, at Indianapolis, should be a W, get up to a nice start here, Chargers, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, that's a brutal stretch, all right, that won't be fun at all, Jets are on it, you play Jets, Giants, Dallas, Dallas isn't a great team either, should go 2-1 there, obviously you play your own division here, which is a tough division, I'm going to go with you here, I think they're a decent squad. I think they're a decent team here, but I don't think they're getting double digits here. I think it's going to be right around that 8-9 win mark. I'll take the under.
Yeah. Next up, Kansas City, speaking of which. Right? No 2 straight road games this season, which is kind of weird. 10 games against playoff teams, but that's what's going to happen when you're playing the AFC West and you had 3 teams make the playoffs last year. 8 games in prime time, that's to be expected. Only 4 more 4 o'clock games. So they only have 4 1 o'clock games, which actually is a little bit more than I really thought they would end up having. So they start the season, Chargers, Philadelphia, at Giants, Baltimore. It's Kansas City. Listen, they can win all those games. Any other team, you'd be like, wow, they can start the season 1-3. But chances are happy with decent. They'll go and they're going to win the Giant game, right? So 2-2. But still, that would be a little bit of a, they only had 2 losses all of last year. They may get it in the first month of the season this year.
Once again, Kansas City is sort of the team that reminds me of Tom Brady in his last years with New England. Never really believed in it. They're not going to win this year. And they always won because Brady was that good. And the same thing with Kansas City. I don't think the team as a whole was great at all, but Pat Mahomes is that good. But once again, the offensive line. Bad. Is Rashee Rice going to be ready? Is it going to be Rashee Rice? Travis Kelce, who was Warren Sharp, but all his numbers were terrible last year, went down in every category. So is he going to take another step back? This could be the end of this Kansas City dominance as far as where all they're the team here. So I think they will go 2-2. And I think they could lose, week 6 against Detroit as well. Now, all these games are at home, by the way, which is God bless.
Right.
At Philadelphia, home. Baltimore, home. Detroit, home. Washington, home. You are at Buffalo, so I guess there is that. Houston's at home. I mean, is it other than the Buffalo game, all of their tough games are at home, which should be a big benefit. Kansas City is one of the bigger home field advantages in the NFL. That being said, I'll take the under. I just don't think they're a great team. I think Pat Mahomes is just great.
Yeah. Like I said, when you play that extra game and they make it a home game, or they take away a road game, it does make it interesting. So not a bad little schedule for being a first-place team. It really isn't. I will close out the AFC West, take a peek at the NFC East when we return. You're on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle here on a Thursday. Scott and George wrapping up shop, just going over some team over-unders now that we got the schedules out and everything else. Talking a little AFC West here. Left off with the Las Vegas Raiders, George. Over is 7.5 plus 135. Under 7.5 is minus 160. Had only four wins last year. They pick up Geno Smith. Things should change around a little bit. Last place schedule certainly helps. They still have nine games against playoff teams, but again, when you're playing the AFC West, that's why they're six right there with Denver, Chargers, and the Chiefs all making the postseason. But still, their schedule includes games against New England, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Giants, Cleveland, and Chicago, which could be a little bit better this year, but still. Boy, they're only kind of scheduling gauntlet at the end of the year. They close out the season at Philadelphia, at Houston, Giants, and then Kansas City. But the Kansas City game could be meaningless for the Chiefs, so that might not be that difficult. So it's not a bad schedule. 7.5, and you're giving me odds. Can they go 8-9? They had 9 home games, remember, this season, being in the AFC. It's a big jump from 4-8, but I think they might get it.
It is an improved team, right? Geno Smith is definitely better than what they've had there. Ashton Jeanthi, most of us love him. It's going to give him a strong running game there. Don't really like their receiving core. They have a bunch of twos and threes. No number one. But I guess, once again, Brock Bowers is your number one there. Defense, well, work in progress. Can't fix everything. I mean, as you said, schedule, as long as they don't get bogged down in the beginning here, you open up against New England, Chargers, Washington, Chicago. That is a rough stretch there. I kind of like Chicago this year. Although I don't think they're massively better than Vegas, but it's at home. It gives you an advantage. Indianapolis, Tennessee, Kansas. I am likely to agree with you, but the ending is rough. All right. Other than that Kansas City game, I mean, Chargers, Denver, Philly, Houston. All right. Then you get the bye week with the Giants in Kansas City. That's probably going to be our problem here. We could be, if we're at 4 going into that, we're not getting it. If we're at 5, I think it'll be close. We're at 6, we should get it. So, I'm going to go with you. I think they get to their 8-9 wins. I think Pete Carroll will do enough damage there.
Yeah. They got to find a way to get at least one, if not two, wins in their division. Maybe at home against the Chargers and Broncos. Yeah, they do. Rivalry game and everything. Just don't go 0-6. You go 0-6 in the division, then you're going to have to win all these close games, and no one's going to win all of them. So, Chargers 9.5. They had 11 wins last year, so they're giving you a little bit of a discount, a little surprise. 9 games against playoff teams, 3 straight division games to start the season, which is a little weird. In December, their gauntlet: Philadelphia, at KC, at Dallas, Houston, at Denver. That's how they end their season. They get 3 separate road trips to New York, Miami, and Jacksonville as well. And remember, they're in Los Angeles. That's 3. That's not back-to-back Giants and Dolphins where you could stay there, or Dolphins and Jacksonville. They got to fly 3 trips back east. That's a tough schedule. Because of that, you know, again, I probably won't play it, but if I had to, I think I would lean towards the under. But a slight lean.
I think I might lean towards the over here with the Chargers. All right. We know you got Herbert. Great. The running game, Hampton should be that running back there. Sorry, Najee. I think McConkey does take that next step here. Like, see a little better depth there. Maybe Quentin Johnson hold on to the ball. Their offense still has work to be done. No doubt has work to be done. Need to stay healthy. This team always seems to be banged up year after year here. But I don't mind the schedule. All right, opening up against Kansas City on a Friday in Brazil, it is what it is. What are you going to do? Right. You know, if you could just go 2-1 in those division games there, technically two of them are at home here. You know, would love that. Giants, Washington, Miami, Indianapolis, Minnesota, Tennessee, Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a nice stretch where you're not playing anybody all that rough. You got to make your hay during that stretch there, right? Miami, Indianapolis, Minnesota, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Vegas. Yeah, you got to make your hay during that stretch there and go like 6-2 or whatever it might be. And then just split the rest of those games at the end. Right? Go 3-3 down the stretch there, and you should get to your double-digit wins. I'll take the over.
Yeah. They're like Houston. You know, if you're a good team, you want to take that next step, you know, you have a really good year despite a tough little schedule. So we touched on them a little bit yesterday. Let's go to the NFC East with the Giants schedule, which is just tough. 5.5 is your number, plus 125. They're 3-14 from last year. They got 10 games against playoff teams. We'll touch more on it tomorrow, George, but this is setting up for a long
time. What are they beating?
Yeah.
New Orleans?
Three sets of back-to-back road games as well. Then they finish up with Philadelphia at Denver, at Philadelphia, and San Fran during a stretch. Wow. George and I'll be back tomorrow. Have yourselves a great Thursday, folks. Football full circle right here on the grid.